The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. And
expect him to be ready for training camp next year. Shot third down is intercepted. Carlos Dansby with the pick. Six. Touchdown, Dansby. And it's picked up by Will Hill.
Oh
Will Hill
God, runs down the sideline. Oh
Will Hill! It's going to be a touchdown! The field goal! Unbelievable! Will Hill thrilled me. What a play at the buzzer.
Well, at least it was entertaining bad football. I wish you could say the same thing about the Rockets. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on. For a Tuesday, welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the master. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at A.J. is the real, at John E. Football. Add Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday when most of you are in a bad mood. Get over it. A lot of good stuff going on.
You in a good mood?
I am, even though I've been here all day.
I was going to say, that's weird.
Yeah, this is too much like a real job sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, this part of it isn't. But yeah, I've been here since very early today. I had to pick up a guy at the airport to bring him here to record something. So it's just been a long day, but it's all right. Still in a good mood. Very excited about the project we're working on. And
good for you.
Just, although I had nothing like your run-in with the woman at Creed, but there is this crazy homeless woman who's been hanging around our neighborhood in the mornings, and I was pulling out about 9 o'clock down, and it's kind
of
hard.
Pulling out of the homeless woman?
No, that came later. No, I was pulling out of my garage.
Like after you pulled out, it came later?
Exactly. Pulling out of my garage, and she gets like right in front, and it's like on a slope, so it's hard to stop. You know, I got a big vehicle too; it's not right. Easy to slow down there. She just stands right in front of me and starts screaming at me. So I rolled down the window and gave her my best crazy look, and said, "Do you mind moving?" "I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere." So I just kind of went to my very best Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy line and just said, "Ma'am, do you have any idea how much damage it would do to my truck if I ran right over you?" "No, how much?" "Absolutely none at all."
That's true.
And so I just let it inch forward just enough, and she took off running.
You made a homeless person run?
Yes.
Well, that's a rare sight. It doesn't.
She's a mess, though, man. That's one that, yeah, I get some of the people that are homeless have mental issues, and they really need help. But this one's kind of scary. And, you know, at some point, it's one where you need to call the police and say, y'all need to get this woman out of here before she does something stupid.
Yeah.
But in the back of my mind, I was kind of like, hey, you know what? She walked right in front of me. Sorry. Thunk. That's just me, though.
Well, it's good of you not to murder a homeless.
Yeah. I didn't want to go full Terrence Jones.
Or vehicular manslaughter.
Yeah.
A homeless, whatever they want to call it.
It's just... I get being a little crazy, but standing in front of an expedition that's on a slope that's hard enough to stop anyway is not, I don't know if she was going suicide by truck or what.
Yeah.
But, oh well. Anyway.
I think maybe she just didn't care.
I think that's it.
That's typically the kind of the thing.
Or she was seeing stuff.
For some people, they just don't really care.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't really either at that point because I was running late and I needed to get to the airport. So I was kind of like, all right, if I got to thunk you, I got to thunk you. It happens. So, football last night, entertaining at least for a crap game.
That was one of the best primetime games we've seen all year. At least from just a...
From an entertainment standpoint. There was some bad football there.
Yeah, it wasn't like the best played game, but...
I'll take that, though. I'll take it, man.
I'll take
pick sixes. I'll take punt or kick returns for touchdowns to win games. That's pretty cool.
Especially just because, I mean, we knew who was quarterbacking these teams.
Yeah.
We didn't get the dream matchup of Schaub versus John Football. We didn't get that, but...
Hey, Austin Davis looked pretty good in his brief appearance.
Maybe the Texans should get him up. But we got to see some Matt Schaub, and we got to actually see some decent play out of Matt Schaub. He did throw the pick six, of course, which he had to do.
Yeah, you knew that was coming. That's just part of the deal.
Otherwise, it wouldn't have been Matt Schaub.
All right.
But other than that, he played pretty well. And by the way, I did tweet out about 15 minutes before the game, Ravens plus 5.5. That got pushed from Browns minus 3 to Browns minus 5.5.
Yeah, I punched a very small ticket on that when I saw that. Once it got outside of 3, do you really think that the Browns are...
Is there any reason why the Cleveland Browns, who have lost 5 games in a row, should be steaming like that? There's no reason. There's no reason, and of course, it turned out there was no reason. But it was a respectable performance for Schaub. I mean, he's a backup quarterback now.
Right.
You know, he's not going to be Joe Flacco, but he did enough to get a win. And they had a decent run game, even without Forsett. Javoris Allen had a good game. Terrence West had some nice carries. Matt Schaub had a nice little scramble, even. Kamar Aiken.
Not something you see very often.
Kamar Aiken and Chris Givens both had a couple big plays. I mean, it was a respectable showing for the Ravens. I mean, that said, it was against the Browns.
So
you can't puff your chest out too much. But
even as beat up as they are, the Ravens are still better than the Browns.
They are.
And at least, like I said, it wasn't one of those games where it was just 10-6. No offense, Texans. But... It was worth watching. I mean, there were enough bad plays that turned into big plays that made it fun. So I enjoyed that a lot more than the Rockets, who I didn't even bother with after the second quarter.
That team is – maybe we should save that for a different segment.
Okay.
I do want to get into that, though.
Some breaking news we can get to right now, by the way.
Okay. Go ahead, then.
The Boston Red Sox – mm-hmm. have agreed on a 7-year, $217 million contract with...
Zach Greinke.
David Price.
What?
Yes.
Say those numbers again.
7 years, $217 million.
Is that $31 million per year? Is that my quick goat math?
We need Jong for this.
Jong.
It's too damn hot.
$217 million.
We need the Asian to do the math
divided
here.
Divided by 7, that in my feeble... white American brain, that's $31 million per year. What says your Asian brain?
According to my calculator, you are correct.
Oh boy.
For a 30-year-old, so he's gonna be 37 when this thing is done.
Imagine what Zach Greinke is about.
He's gonna be making $30 million at 37 years old.
Wow.
And honestly, it's kind of crazy because the Red Sox are gonna Red Sox, they're gonna spend money. But wow. Okay. I hope that works out for you. I would, if I'm going to spin that, wouldn't you rather have Greinke?
I mean, maybe if David Price is going for that, maybe Greinke's more.
Maybe so. And I mean, he already opted out of an awful lot of money. So
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see where he winds up. But just thought I would share that. Why am I still following Bill Simmons when he's not at ESPN anymore?
Boy, I have no idea.
I'm gonna, because
for Red Sox and Celtics news and Patriots news,
which I can get from the multitude of other people that I follow.
Yeah,
I think he won't miss me with his 4.74 million followers.
No, he
but,
won't.
I won't miss him either. But that's how I found out. His whole thing was he retweets the Red Sox in agreement and all caps, yeah, with a bunch of H's. Good for you. So, all right. That's one of your big dogs just went off the market.
That's a ton of dough, man. That is a ton of dough.
So let's not pretend
the game done changed, Fred.
It has, and let's not pretend like the Red Sox are the small market Red Sox or anything. No. They're out there spending like Yankees. We'll see how that works out for them.
That, gosh, that is unbelievable. Well, I mean, think back to when A-Rod got $25
million. Yeah.
And, okay.
It's the thing is, they obviously have the money, and it's a different kind of game. It's very much like soccer is, where you can go spend whatever to get these guys, unlike the other sports where you got a salary cap. So if that's a going rate for a guy, good for him.
Yep.
I would be reluctant to give a 30-year-old pitcher that kind of money, simply because how often do we see pitchers hold up over time? And you have to really be – and he's very good. I mean, he's been consistent and outstanding, but you're paying for what he's already done more than what you're paying for what you're going to get, I think.
I don't understand. When did pitchers become that became – they became the higher-paid guys more than hitters? When did that change?
I don't know, but it's, you know, good for him. He's set for life.
Well, and
probably was already set for life, but now he's set for his next life.
I think back, and you may recall a guy who, he was 29 at the time, but he signed an 8-year, $186 million contract. So even less money. That guy was CC Sabathia.
Mm.
So,
well, David Price was due a raise this year.
No doubt. No doubt. You know, that raise?
He only made $19.75 million this year.
Only?
Yeah. So that seems like a fair raise to 31.
All right. Man, what do I know? I mean, but listen, there's guys running around this place. Rick Porcello is making $20 million.
Well,
last
but
year
that's another guy that they. They paid a ridiculous amount, too. So,
but, I mean, you can go up and down the list of...
And Mike says that $31 million, that has to be close to $1 million a start, right?
Well, yeah, probably
yeah,
close.
Well, at least $850,000 a start.
Unbelievable.
Well.
He'll be the second highest paid player in baseball next year behind Clayton Kershaw. Who, at least with Clayton Kershaw, I kind of get it because, I mean, Clayton Kershaw is a youngster, you know, relatively. I don't know. I feel like this is a mistake, but what do I know? Well, he signed his deal when he was 26.
Okay.
Kershaw did.
So, I mean.
He'll play till he's, this contract that he's on will last till he's 32.
Seems about right. After that, that's when you get about 33, 34. That's when you start worrying about the guy's arm.
Yeah.
So
I would assume that when
the first half of this contract, I'd feel pretty good about. The second half, not so much.
Are you talking about David Price?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd feel good about this contract until you make the playoffs, and then you realize, well, David Price can't pitch in the playoffs.
But, hey, if he gets you there, then you don't.
It gives you a chance.
Yeah, you bump into the fourth guy or something.
Yeah.
But.
Well. The money has switched from hitting to pitching. And you know why? I guess I can – a good reason why is I'm going through and I'm looking at the biggest contracts in baseball right now. And I'll just go through – I'll give you the guys that are currently – the hitters that are currently in the top 20 of the highest paid players. And you tell me if the teams that sign them are happy with their investment.
All right, is this total deal or is this per year?
This is what they're going to get paid in 2016.
Okay.
Miguel Cabrera, you think the Tigers are happy with that investment?
Yeah, I
would
so.
Say yes.
Yes, I'll go
I mean,
yes.
The guy's won a triple crown. He's a monster. How about Ryan Howard?
Oh, God, no.
Albert Pujols for the Angels.
No, I would not.
I don't think so either.
He was better this year, but that's still not. He's still not worth what they paid him.
How about Prince Fielder, going to make $24 million this year?
He was decent this year when he was healthy, and I'd say okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Not a slam dunk, yes.
You basically got a free year of work, or you paid for a year for him to sit around.
Yeah,
also.
And get fat again.
How about fatter. Robinson Cano, $24 million this
year? I don't
year.
Think so.
And Robinson Cano saying that he'd love to go back to the Yankees.
I'm sure he would.
How about Mark Teixeira, $23.2 million?
No. Nope.
How about Joe Mauer, $23
million? Nope.
Hanley Ramirez, $23
million? No, they're trying to get rid of him, too.
Jose Reyes, $22
million. Not a chance.
Adrian Gonzalez, $22 million. He actually is playing really well. So that's there's one.
Yeah. Matt, so we've got two so far.
Matt Kemp, $22
million. No. Nope.
Carl Crawford, $22
million. No. Nope.
And I'll just go ahead and go to 21 because it's Jason Worth at $22 million more. I mean, there's just been so many bad hitting contracts.
Well, what about the pitching contracts? We'll do those when we come back, because right now, if you're a Red Sox fan, you want to watch David Price pitch? Great place to do it is Tupelo's,
of course.
Exactly. If you wanted to watch that Monday Night Football game last night, you should have been at Tupelo's. If you want to watch the Rockets as they try to bounce back from this not-so-good start, Tupelo's is your place to go. 2907 Rayford Road in Spring, and there's so many cool things to do there. It is the classic neighborhood sports bar with a great food menu that goes way beyond what you're going to get at a sports bar. If you're looking to have a holiday event, they got you covered. They've got daily specials every day. They've got a fantastic menu. If you have not tried the burgers up there, you need to. All kinds of Cajun food, a little bit of everything. It's just a great menu and a great atmosphere. And I love the way the TVs are set up. You can go on a weekend and watch all the games. And no matter where you sit, you can see whatever you're trying to look at. If you want to go watch that UH Temple game, that's your place to do it. You want to go watch the Texans on Sunday, that's your place to do it. And Chip and his gang do a great job. They're going to make you feel at home. You want to bring the kids, you're going to fit right in. If you don't want to bring the kids, you're going to fit right in. It's Tupelo Sports Bar and Grill. And if you want to book a holiday event, give them a call, 281-292-3600, or visit them at tubelos.com. And basically, you'll learn everything you need to know when you go to that website, because you'll find out about the menu and the specials and how you can book that holiday event. Go on by. We love being out there. Tell them I sent you. They're going to take care of you. Tupelo Sports Bar and Grill, 2907 Rayford Road, tupelos.com.
From the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Oh, Foster says Price will make $191,358 per game, but he gets four games off.
Yeah, he's only
out of every five. So just looking at it, it's close to $1 million per start, because he made 32 starts last year.
If I'm the Red Sox, I make him pitch every game.
Well, you should play every day, right?
Yeah.
And he's started 34 times in his career. So, you know, getting a little more value for those years if he does it. But two other times he's pitched 32 games, and one time 31. So, yeah, almost $1 million per start.
You had asked about the pitching. The pitching's been more of a reasonable investment for these, at least these $20 million plus contracts. More of them have worked out.
Okay.
CC Sabathia being a notable gaffe, but Cole Hamels is on that list. Matt Cain on that list. I mean, there's been... The Masahiro Tanaka is kind of a weird one that, you know, if I don't know if he's hurt, what's going on, but they've been more successful. The Felix Hernandez, more successful than the hitters have. And my computer just restarted out of the blue. I have no idea what's going on.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, be happy to take your phone calls. And all right, so we'll go from that to... what's going on with your Rockets?
Man, I don't want to be I told you so guy.
Yeah, you do. You love being I told you so guy. You love it. You love it.
This team, they are, and I'll put it out there again. I put it out there last year when they looked good. I'll put it out there every year until they have a different core of guys. A team led by James Harden and Dwight Howard will never win an NBA championship. And last year, they exceeded every realistic expectation of what they could do. And I don't think that, you know, this is what they really are. Like this start, I don't think suddenly they're like a sub .500 NBA team.
They're not this bad.
But I think what you saw last year is the best you will ever see out of this group. I don't think they get better than that. And I think you're already starting to see that you fired the coach, but that wasn't the worst of the problems that you've got.
No, I think – and when they did it at the time, it's kind of like changing your quarterback. This is your big shot to turn things around, and if you don't, now what?
But the reality is,
you're not going to trade the player. You change the players right away.
What can you do? What else can you do to fix this problem?
Well, the good news is, despite this really bad start, they're only a game and a half out of what would be the playoff race. It's still early enough.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. I bet the Rockets and the Warriors would be a really good series this season.
They're only two games behind. If it makes you feel better, they're only two games behind the seventh seed, which means they'll get the Spurs.
That's better.
Yeah, but there's still time to turn it around, and I think they will. And I think in the end, they're going to wind up in that six range somewhere in there. But they're going to have to. The one thing that
you're assuming they're going to start trying.
Well, that's part of the problem, and I just wonder at some point if there's not guys that I could see them making moves because they always do. As the season goes on, you wind up picking up, like last year they picked up Corey Brewer and Josh Smith and guys who wound up helping them. I could see them doing that again, but I just don't know that right now I don't see them doing enough to change the culture of this team. So,
well, I'll say it again. As long as James Harden is the go-to guy on this team, they will not win. They will not. And it's not because of base god curse or whatever that crap is. It's because that guy is – he's about James Harden. And it's
– that's an issue, and it has really reared its ugly head this year because the guy hasn't –
And you know, last year there was egg on my face because I'd been saying that.
Well, he went out and actually worked on his defense and came in shape and played hard.
He tried harder than I'd ever seen him try in his entire career.
And now he's not.
And you see what you get when the guy gives full effort. He's pretty good. He's an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
But that's
and Howard. Look, Howard's still effective, but he's not the player he was.
No,
so
Howard's a one-way player. He's a
defensive guy who's going to rebound for you, and there's nothing wrong with that.
And he can score within a foot of the basket.
Yeah, if he gets a rebound, he'll put it back in.
Yeah,
that's about it.
But listen, this guy is no longer an elite NBA center, and the window was last year. That was your window, and you just happened to run into a historically good team in Golden State.
And if you just look at it on the surface. If I told you, oh, well, Harden had 29, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, you think, okay, that's you can win with that. Until you look at 6 of 15 from the floor, 5 turnovers, that's him in a nutshell right now. And
yeah, how many of his points came at the free throw line?
And one of the things that's missing, too, is when he's doing that, well, 15 of his 17 at the line, of course, 15, that's what he was at the line, 15 right. or 17. But here's the other problem. It's Trevor Ariza 1 for 9.
Yeah.
Which he's been terrible. Terrence Jones has been terrible. You can fade some of these hardened 6 for 15s when he's getting 29 points if these other guys are, if Ariza's 6 of 9.
You know,
but he's not.
You know when guys like that are good? When they have guys around them that elevate their team and this isn't one of those teams.
Well, I'm wondering if they, and again, I'm not really ready to punt on them yet, but I do think there's some issues that go pretty deep here.
Are you ready to punt on them as a title contender?
Well, I mean, yes, to a point. If they make some ridiculous move at the deadline, well, no, I wouldn't
Fred,
be.
I said this last year, I'll say it again. Who wants to come play with these guys?
But if you trade for somebody, it's not their choice.
You know how it works. You trade for guys who you have team control over, not who are just going to.
If you can make a trade for a guy for half a season, they've done that before. And they're convinced they can talk those guys into staying.
They're crazy.
Well, of course they are, but that's beside the point. So yeah, if they made that kind of deal, I could see them getting back in the mix. But right now, it doesn't matter. The way Golden State's playing, nobody's a title contender but them.
And I'll tell you what, the only reason. And I say close. It was an 11-point win for the Pistons.
It wasn't a close game, though.
It was not a close game. The only thing that kept it reasonably respectable in the box score is they did the hack of Andre Drummond, which they're the biggest crybabies when people do it to Dwight Howard. And then,
well, I don't know if the Rockets whine about it that much. The fans,
Rockets
do.
Fans, yeah. Right? But then they go out and do that to Andre Drummond, who, by the way, you got to get better at free throw shooting, Andre Drummond. That's a joke. 4 of 18, and he's like in the 30s for the season.
Well, DeAndre Jordan missed like 22 in a game.
It's just crazy. And Andre Drummond is one of those guys. The rest of his game is there. The guy plays some defense. He's like double digit rebounds every day. He's had a couple 20 and 20 games, but he can't shoot free throws. So he's a liability on, you know, when he's out there. But if it weren't for that hack on Andre Drummond, this game is a blowout, like a 20 plus point blowout.
Well, and that's what it was most of the game. They just made it look closer than it was at the end. 713-780-ESPN. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Be happy to take your phone calls and, plenty of room for you guys to get in and chat about your Rockets.
Yeah, I want to hear what the people think about the Rockets.
Are you panicked yet with the Rockets? That's what I want to know,
and
Rockets
I want to
fan.
Get into your discussion that you said you wanted to talk about the Warriors. I think it's worth noting at this point. It's worth discussing right now.
I want to get to that at some point because I read an article that compares them, and everybody's going to start comparing them to the Bulls because 72-10.
Which they're going to beat, by the way.
As long as they stay healthy, yeah, I think so.
But as long as Steph Curry stays healthy.
I think that's probably it. But the article makes a case why the Bulls would be better. And I might take the other side of that because I think there's some things that it was ignoring. But we'll get to that at some point today. But we want to hear from you on your Rockets, on your Ravens, if you want, on anything.
No, we don't want to
David
talk about
Price?
That. We've had enough of that game.
Yeah, probably so.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about Gary Trichter. He's the leading Houston DWI attorney in the state, really, and in the city. They've recommended tips for companies hosting parties this holiday season, holiday parties. Criminal defense firm specializes in Houston DWI defense. They've released a list of tips to keep guests safe during festivities and no refusal weekends. And you can go to the website, texasdwilaw.com, to check some of them out. A lot of tips for you bosses out there who might be throwing a holiday party. Have your party on a Friday night so folks can sleep in the next day or give them the next day off. Encourage your guests to designate a volunteer non-drinking driver if they're coming in groups, or just pay the taxi fare to and from. Make sure you serve food, water, and soft drinks at least 30 minutes before the bar opens. It's going to help to absorb some of the alcohol. And if guests are going to drive themselves home, set up a station where they must check in their keys and pass a portable breath test in order to get them back. Don't take any risks out there on the road. If you do find yourself in trouble for DWI, it's not the end of the world because Attorney Gary Trichter is experienced in telling the truth about these tests to juries. He's experienced in defending these cases. Give him a call, 713-524-1010, or visit him online at texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010. For Attorney Gary Trichter.
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780. ESPN is your number. I guess you guys are already disgusted with the Rockets. That appears to be the case. So, fine. Plenty of other things to talk about.
On Twitter here, and this is borders on just fascinating to me. Aristotle says Rockets will win 50 games still. I don't know what Rockets you're watching. This is a bad team right now. And I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't think they're going to finish under 500. I don't think they're going to, you know, they're going to turn into the 76ers all of a sudden. I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs. But the thought that this team is going to be a contender again, I think we're out on that.
Well, to me, it's too early to say that even, but they've got a long way to go, and I haven't seen anything to indicate that's going to be the case.
What you've seen so far, this is not how championship teams play.
No, but I've also seen teams get their act together, make trades, all kinds of stuff like that. So I think it's, you know, I'm not really willing to say this whole season's a wash yet, but the fact that you've already fired your coach is a real concern to
me. No doubt. And now what else can you do?
Yeah, and adding a different coach somewhere in the middle of the season is not going to make any difference at this point. So I think they've got to start getting better play from the guys they have. And the other thing they have to do is I think they're going to have to get some better players in here. And, you know, getting Monty Unis back will help, but let's not pretend like that's the answer to everything.
Is he the Rockets version of Jed Lowry? Just wait till Jed Lowry comes back.
Yeah, that's gonna be the guy.
It's gonna be a game changer.
It's gonna help. It's gonna make him better. But until Harden starts playing with some effort, and some of these other guys start playing with some effort, until they start playing together better, until the coaching staff figures that out,
you have to limit your expectations.
Yeah, I agree. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 is your number if you want to get in. There's plenty of other stuff we can get into. Interesting college football hire today, I thought. Scott Frost, whose name has been thrown out for a lot of big jobs, takes Central Florida.
I think it's a good idea for him. And, well, listen, first of all, expectations right now are pretty low. You're not going to be worse at Central Florida than what they are right now. We know that, right?
Right.
All he's got to do is turn that into a 6-6 program, and he'll get a big job. And I think it's good for him to have some head coaching experience. And I think, you know, and I really think this sets the ball in motion for when Mike Riley inevitably gets fired at Nebraska.
Yeah.
For Scott Frost to have a couple years of experience under his belt, it looks like and who knows if he'll really be able to turn Central Florida around like into a contender.
Well, but
if you get him back to 500.
But we were talking about yesterday, it's like not all Power 5 schools are created the same and not all non-Power 5s are created the same. Central Florida is a fertile recruiting base. It's a place that was – I mean, team was in the Fiesta Bowl 2 years ago, so it's not like this is a crap job. It's just a team that happened to fall apart this year. There's talent on that roster. They're very young. They lost a lot of seniors and had a bunch of injuries. It would not be hard to take that team from no wins to 7 wins in a year.
Yeah.
And then add a few guys and you get that to 8 or 9 and get back in contention for the American Conference East. And, yeah, 2 years net from now, somebody big will be calling. And I think it's a good move for him. I don't know if the guy can coach. I mean, if he gets there and doesn't turn it around, then so much for that big job. But I do think it's an interesting step, and I think it's an interesting hire for UCF because that is a program that you can win at that level and win at pretty quickly.
I think that it's going to be a pretty quick turnaround. Like I said, I don't know if they're going to get back to Fiesta Bowl status, but even if Scott Frost can't coach, they're going to win 5 or 6 games there next year.
Probably so.
This offer, I can't believe this happened. That's more surprising to me than Kansas going with an offer. So I think this is a spot where, like I said, you come in when you come into to take over a team that didn't win a single game. I mean, if you win 4 games next year, people are going to be going, "Wow, look at the progress we're making."
And the reality is that wasn't a 0-win team.
No,
but it all just kind of fell apart. Disco Biscuit says Fred needs to write an article calling the Rockets dead, and then maybe they can make the playoffs.
Maybe.
I'm not ready to do that yet. I did not call the Texans dead. I did say they should fire some people, though, including Romeo Crennel. I'm not looking real smart on that. But I wasn't the only one who said that when they were 2-5. And at the time, after that game, somebody should have gotten fired. That's why I can't be an owner. Because
you would have fired people.
I would have gone full Eddard Stark and beheaded some guys. I mean, boom, gone. See, I watch too much Game of Thrones. That's why I can't do it. Hey, you caught up on Leftovers in Fargo?
Not Fargo.
Okay.
That came on last night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet.
Yeah, I get up real early so I could watch it this morning.
I had to finish off Gotham, which all these shows now are going to their mid-season.
Yeah, the mid-season break.
Yeah, Gotham and Blacklist are both done for mid-season. Walking Dead's done for mid-season. I think Leftovers they're not doing that crap. They don't care.
No, there's only one more.
Right, there's just one episode left. And
then there's two more episodes of Fargo.
Okay. After last night?
After last night, yeah.
Okay.
Which is,
and they're not going to take the break, right?
No. There's no break for the... Well, because both of those are self-contained. They're. I think the break thing is more... Well, I say that, but...
The leftovers isn't self-contained. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of following up on what they did last season. It's just in a different place.
It is, but...
It's the same characters.
But it's still a... It's like a 10-episode season that stays within itself. I didn't really enjoy Sundays as much. I thought it was very predictable at the end.
The leftovers?
Yeah.
Oh, well, compared to last week, there's nothing they could have done to follow that up.
Yeah, I just thought there was...
I'm just hoping for a strong finish.
Yeah, because there was an awful lot of wasted camera time with face shots of Liv Tyler, where they just... Which I...
But she is bat bleep crazy.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. And but I thought the big ending there was extremely predictable. In fact, said, oh, yeah, I know what's in the garage.
Yeah.
And it was pretty obvious. So, anyway, if you haven't seen it yet, I don't want to spoil it for you, even though technically you should have by now. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And guess what? Guys, you want to help out? This is the time of year to give, and you can give really easily. All you got to do is get rid of a vehicle you don't need anymore. Something that's sitting in your yard, something that's sitting in your garage, and maybe you were going to get around to fixing it. You never did. Well, here's what you do. You donate it to my good friends at Houston Can Academy, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to come and pick it up for you, free of charge. They're going to tow it, no matter where you are. If you can hear my voice, if you're over in Lake Charles, they'll come get it. And they'll even bring you, they'll take care of the paperwork. They'll come get the vehicle, and it's going to be tax deductible. And if you donate today, you're going to get a free $50 Visa gift card. If you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, it's just their way of saying thank you. We've had a lot of listeners who've donated their vehicles, and they all say the same thing. It's easy, man. They come and take care of everything. And the great thing is, those vehicles are going to go to help these kids at Houston Can Academies. They're changing lives every day over there. It is a great, great school. It's for kids who have dropped out. They give them a second chance. And a lot of these kids had to drop out for family reasons, all kinds of reasons. Well, they get another opportunity. And a bunch of them now are getting there. They're getting through school, and they're going on to do great things. And you can help. Some of these kids, sometimes they just need a meal. Sometimes they need transportation. All of that. You can do that. All you have to do is donate that vehicle. Give them a call, 713-225-4226. That's 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And you know they're saying, and it's true, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Tonight, The Flash and Arrow join voices for an epic two-night event only on the CW. Watch crossover event of the season at 8, only on the CW39. Make sure to keep your dial on ESPN 97.5 for your chance to win Flash Cash giveaways. As a matter of fact, we have a couple of those today that Jong is going to be helping you out with, but we'll get to that in just a minute. And we're going to be joined by a very special guest here who happens to be in town working on something that we'll talk about in a minute, but kind of Mr. Everything for the Kansas City Star. Been there now for 27 years, you tell me?
27 years wow. In Kansas
My
City.
My goodness.
Blair Kirchhoff joins us, and yeah, you got like 27,000 Twitter followers, so I guess you built up like 1,000 per year, huh? We were just talking off air because with the Price signing, but the Royals have some guys, obviously Johnny Cueto probably not coming back. Alex Gordon, I don't know what's going on with him, but what do you think are going to happen with the Royals this offseason?
Well, the two big ones for the world champion Kansas City Royals, I can't believe I just said that, but Alex Gordon and Ben Zobrist are the two that the Royals fans are asking about constantly, and everybody is interested in Ben Zobrist. I haven't heard much on the rumor mill about Gordon, but Zobrist, it seems like every day I hear a new team is interested in Zobrist. And it's easy to understand why he is the ultimate jack of all trades player, and his value to the Royals was incredible in the second half of the season and in the postseason. Alex Gordon is the emotional tie to the Royals, the guy who is the original Royal, signed, and he's he and Luke Hochaver are the two oldest, longest tenured guys on the team, and Hochaver signed up for the next few years, but Gordon would be a tough loss. Zobrist would be a very tough loss, and yet I think Royals fans are sort of girding for both of those guys to be in different uniforms next year.
I've heard a lot of Alex Gordon to the Cubs has been the big noise. They need some outfield help, and they need some defensive help too,
and leadership help too. Yeah. A veteran guy on that team, I've heard, would the Cubs would be interested for those reasons.
Are the Royals? Do they have plans to make what I assume would be a franchise record setting offer? If they were to make a respectable offer to Alex Gordon, do they plan on doing that?
It would take a franchise record contract. The most money, the largest contract ever given to a Royals player is $55 million. And that's happened twice. Gilmesh, remember Gilmesh,
yeah,
the pitcher?
That didn't work out.
No, it did not work out. In fact, he bailed on the last year of his five-year deal. And Mike Sweeney, good hitter in the early part of the 2000s, and they got their money's worth from Mike, but again, didn't help the team get over the hump. So that's kind of a low bar, $55 million.
But now they're playing with a team that's actually worth investing in.
Worth investing in, and actually had a bigger payroll than the team that they beat in the World Series, one from New York last year. The Royals were at $125 to $130 million by the end of last season. The Mets were at $110 million or so. So the Royals are willing to spend money, but are they willing to give Alex Gordon $5 for $100 million? I don't think they would do that. Gordon will be 32 when next year begins, and so he's obviously in the beginning of the declining years of his career for his position.
I would guess 20 a year is about where it's going to start.
I think so too. So now the question becomes for Royals fans: would Alex Gordon be willing to take something of a hometown discount or give the Royals something of a hometown discount? He's from Lincoln, Nebraska, played at the University of Nebraska, grew up going to Royals games as a kid. I mean, he is the ultimate Midwest ball player. How much does that mean to him? And does it mean millions of dollars in some lost revenue or realized revenue that he could get somewhere else? We'll have to see. I don't think the Royals would come close the years might be as important for the Royals as the money. Would they be willing to do 4 years for, I don't know, 75, something like that? I think that's where it might start for the Royals in terms of their negotiating with Gordon.
How many guys do they have coming up in the next 2 years? Because it's one thing the Astros are in pretty good shape on, and most of their guys are not going to get paid for the next 3-4 years. Keuchel is finally up for arbitration, but that's not going to be a monster deal. So they don't have to pay these guys yet, and they've still got more guys in the system. And obviously, these are two pretty big names. What's on the horizon over the next couple of years?
Well, 2017 is the year of reckoning for the Royals. They should be in good. They're going to be in good shape next season with Kane and Hosmer, Moustakas, and the like. But 2017 is when the bill comes due on guys like that. And you got a few Boris guys in there, Hosmer for sure. So their window for being a reasonably budgeted team is one more season, 2016, and I think they'll be very competitive, very good again next year, and then they'll have some big decisions to make starting in 2017.
We were talking about this on the drive over here. I wouldn't have given you a dime for either the Texans or the Chiefs after watching those two teams in the first game, and now here you go, you've got the two hottest teams in the AFC at this point. What turned it around for the Chiefs?
If the season ended today, both would be in the playoffs, as I believe.
Yep.
I think
yep.
One's the 5 and one's the 6. Couple things for the Chiefs. First, their schedule turned a bit. They stopped playing the Packers, the Bengals, and the Vikings, and started playing the Chargers, the Bills last week, and the Lions in London. That was a big help for them. But what they're doing on the field that is significantly better than what they were doing the first month or so of the season is they don't turn the ball over. They've gone 5 games now without a turnover, which is incredible. You know, Alex Smith is not a top half of the NFL type quarterback, but he also doesn't throw interceptions. He doesn't make mistakes. He is the ultimate game manager, a label that he takes as a compliment. And actually now he's starting to, you know, against the Bills on Sunday, had three or four deep balls that we hadn't seen from him all year. He and Jeremy Maclin teamed up for several deep balls. So the Chiefs are just playing really well, and it's also a mark of an Andy Reid coach team. It's his third year in Kansas City. He had a 9-game winning streak his first year, a 5-game winning streak last year, and now he's won 5 in a row this season. Now, the good times do roll for an extended period with an Andy Reid coach team. We'll see if they can keep it going. They're one loss away, though. They go to Oakland this weekend, and they're a loss away from being out of the playoffs. So that's how tenuous it is.
So are the Texans. And of course, they go to Buffalo this week. So, all right, Blair, you're in town to you're doing an audio version of a commemorative book you guys did when the Royals won the World Series, which we're going to be helping. We're going to be working with you guys on. And what's it been like so far being locked in a room all day doing recordings?
It's a first for me, but I'll tell you what, it's a lot of fun. It's terrific to read the book. Actually, it helps me get through the book because now I have to read it. The Star printed many thousands of these books and have sold many thousands of these books, and I think that it's a commemorative book. It is the Royals from spring training until the last out in the 12th inning, Game 5. Last month, and it takes you through, walks you through the whole thing, and it's quite a ride that the Royals went on this year, and it should be commemorated in a book that was written by the staff members of the Kansas City Star. So I've spent the last 5 or 6 hours reading it into a microphone similar to the one I'm speaking into now, and thoroughly enjoyed it. And we've got some more work to do on it, and I really can't wait to see hear the final product.
Yeah, and we're going to have some audio interviews you guys did, so it's going to be the kind of thing that works well. If you already have the print version, you're going to get some different stuff in this one. And it's going to be very affordable. So looking forward to hearing the final product, and appreciate you coming down to do it, and appreciate you spending a few minutes with us.
Absolutely.
All right, Blair, thanks a lot, man. All right.
Now I got to tell you another. I got to tell you about another sponsor, Fred. I'm super busy the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, it goes in phases here.
You know, I'm not. I don't schedule these things. I should. But if you're a little banged up or you've injured yourselves, you need to know about my friends over at Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. It's part of a UT Physicians Group. They've been recognized for their academic and medical achievements, and they're dedicated to giving you guys the best orthopedic care possible. They've developed a system to ensure the wait time to see a doctor is minimal, because everybody knows waiting in the waiting room at that doctor's office is the worst part of being there. They've got 3 easily accessible locations, Katy, Sugarland, and Richmond. They've got free parking right out in front, and you can take care of everything in one spot. You do your consultation, your diagnostic imaging, treatment, rehab, physical therapy, all in one spot, so you're not driving all over town fighting traffic. Give them a call today, see how they can improve your quality of life, 281-344-1715, or visit rbjc.com, where you'll learn more about the doctors, can schedule your appointment online, and a physician referral may not be necessary, depending on your insurance. Give us a call to find out, 281-344-1715 for the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.